Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Hour number two. Get into an NFL no huddle coming up in just a few minutes as week two kicks off tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant McCauley going to join us, our Braves insider. Get his thoughts on where things stand right now. Obviously, still fighting for that wild card spot. Got a tough four-gamer coming up against the Dodgers and more injuries to discuss as well. And then we'll get to the back page with Bo coming up at 12:40.
We were talking about the Thursday night game because it's they're trying to get better matchups.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's so important.
Which I appreciate.
Because Al Michaels looked bored as hell.
I think Al Michaels appreciates it the most.
Al be up there looking bored as hell.
The first year that they had him, that Prime had the games, and he just, you know, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame certified whatever. Like, nothing more he can do to add to his legacy as a broadcaster. So he doesn't care. He's going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
They're just so done with it in the fourth quarter of some of these games.
That was like.
Like, he was this close to saying, who cares?
Who gives a damn?
You know?
Who gives a damn?
So, yeah, having Buffalo and Miami is awesome. That's really fun.
Do they have the same crew again with Sherm and Tony G?
You know, I don't know. It feels like so many of these, you know, what do they call it? Like the studio show, but not really like the pregame. So, yeah, so much change.
It was Sherm, Tony G. Joe Thomas, right? No, not
Fitzy,
Joe Thomas. Fitzy and and Whitfield, right?
Yeah, and Andrew Whitworth.
Whitworth, thank you.
I thought that was a pretty good crew.
Good too.
Yeah.
Wonder if they're going to still have.
And then the Carissa Thompson was kind of anchoring it.
It's curious to see if they still have that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun down there in Miami because the thing Miami is going to put up numbers.
Yeah,
they're going to put up numbers. Can they? And the whole thing, and it's until you prove it wrong, is like going to cold places. Well, it's hard to go to cold places when your ass is in Miami. Like, it's hard. It's hard to get on the airplane when it's 90 degrees to get somewhere when it's -4.
Yeah, no one wants to do that.
No one wants to do that.
Yeah, even the guys that play there don't like it.
Yeah.
I know there's always that, home field. Dude. They're not from there. That guy's from Miami, man, too.
They
he just plays
too.
For Green Bay.
That's what I'm saying. They cold, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what. They freezing over there.
No one likes it.
The biggest thing they know how to do, they know what layers to put on. Mm-hmm. We don't. You know, we come from Florida. They know what layers, and they got different heat socks and all kind of stuff.
Right. They got the right socks.
Yeah, dog.
They got the good thermal
which
socks.
Which is the funniest thing, the kicker, we used to go play Buffalo in New England in December when I was in Miami. Like, our kicker, Lindo. Lindo, like, would have a full wetsuit on all the way to the ankles with hunting socks.
Okay.
With his game socks.
Smart.
Yeah. But like, how the hell are you going to kick?
Exactly.
That?
You're not even going to feel the ball hit your foot.
Feel the ball hit your foot.
Plus, the ball's frozen by the time you kick it.
I think it's hard. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard.
Plus, Olindo Mare, I don't want to stereotype, but I don't know if he's from cold weather.
No, Lindo from South Florida.
Sounds like it.
Yeah, Lindo from South Florida, man. But yeah, that's just where they are.
Former Seahawk legend, Olindo Mare.
He played for the Seahawks?
Yeah, for maybe 1 year, maybe two. But famously, when Jim Mora was there for one season. Remember, Jim Mora Jr. was there for one season.
Yes.
And threw him under the bus after a game.
Yes,
basically said something
that.
About our kicker this, our kicker that.
Yes.
And then he didn't miss a field goal for the rest of the year. And Jim Moore got fired.
Yes, I do remember
so
that.
So there you go.
I do remember that.
All right, let's get to an NFL.
A lot of great real estate and stock tips from Lindell.
Really?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah.
This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. NFL no huddle every single day to lead the noon hour. Like we said, Thursday Night Football tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 8:15 kickoff. Also on Prime Video exclusively, so I don't know. Maybe you got a trial for 7 days. Remember to cancel that, by the way.
Yep, they got
they'll keep
me,
charging you. They'll keep charging you. Set a reminder on your phone or something like that, or I'll remind you next week.
Yep.
But should be a fun one. Miami dealing with a lot of injuries at running back.
Raheem
Mostert is out. Devon Achane, questionable, probably not going to play. So already early in the
who
season,
the hell is it
they're down
back?
The depth chart. Who is it?
I don't know.
Bo knows for fantasy purposes.
For fantasy purposes, who should we start tonight?
Who's the running back for Miami?
Jalen Wright.
Jalen Wright,
and,
okay.
The other guy that's third. Jalen Wright's actually fourth on the depth chart.
Uh-huh. Okay, hang on. I got you.
Jeff Wilson.
Oh, Jeff Wilson.
Okay.
He's still there. Jeff Wilson Jr.
Go back to the files.
Yeah. Jeff Wilson will break off a big
Jeff
game
Wilson,
every once in a while.
I would not be surprised he had 150 tonight.
Sure.
I wouldn't be surprised Jeff was at. Because it's the system.
Yeah.
It's the system.
Exactly. Just like the guy in San Francisco the other
day. Dude, they showed – and you remember how we were talking about Kyle Shanahan? They showed – I saw like four or five clips from their damn run game – from Miami, goodness gracious. Goodness, give me that all day.
I know.
It's so creative, and it's so much fun.
It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah,
everyone
man.
Does their job perfectly. Everyone knows where they're supposed to be. If you got all the offensive linemen are working in unison. It's very pretty to watch. All right. Here's Mina Kimes yesterday on ESPN discussing something that a lot of people have been discussing for sure, but kind of the prevailing narrative coming out of the Falcons game regarding Kirk Cousins.
I mean, the entire premise of him going to Atlanta was he's this great under center play action quarterback. He can't run under center play action right now. So the whole thing falls apart. It's super siloed. The run game suffers for it. Dominique, like watching him, why did they think this would work? Not signing him, but week one. And also, how come none of us heard anything about this entire offseason?
Well, there's a couple things, Mina, and I love me some Mina Kimes. Why would they tell you if they were going to do it?
Right.
That's my only takeaway from that. From you know,
but I will
everything she was spot on with.
I will say, we did talk about how they worked in the pistol
yes.
at times during training
yes.
camp. Now we didn't know it was going to be that much.
Yes.
But when and Joe Patrick would bring it up too,
yes.
and he would see it, like they've been doing a little bit of this.
Yes.
So it wasn't completely untalked about, but nobody expected
it with him.
Nobody did.
Now if that was Michael Penix starting, we probably wouldn't have said anything about it. But because it was Kirk, because what we've always seen Kirk Cousins do. Is the only reason. Like the shotgun runs, it's and you mentioned this to me, it's very hard to run out of the shotgun when there's no threat from the quarterback. That's why if you're going and you can run play action out of the shotgun, you can boot out of the shotgun, you can do certain things out of the shotgun. But if you want to be a primarily run game out of the gun, you got to find some way to and Watt is a different type of animal. But you got to find a way to get that backside blocked. And maybe sometimes you got to make it accountable by pulling him. You know, there would have been so many opportunities for Kyle and for Charlie if they would have ran naked flats, meaning they jammed it in and rolled to the flat. They would have had so many because nobody was there.
Mm-hmm.
There was nobody. TJ's damn it down there. You ain't got to hit TJ. Just go to the flat. But, you know, what do I know?
I think you know a lot.
What I know.
Yeah, I think you look at that and see yourself there.
Yes,
like,
I did.
Oh, man, that was a lot of open catches
Andy.
For Randy McMichael.
I did.
In that situation, like you're midway through the game, like are you just wondering if the coach is going to do it? Does
no.
anyone say anything?
You know what? There's this thing that's over there where the gate aid is.
Yeah.
It's a phone.
Yeah, you just pick it up?
Pick it up. Yep, go pick it up.
Have you ever done that?
Hell yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I would want to know what you're seeing.
Yeah, because
you're down there on the
field. They always do it. The coaches come over to you, and they talk to you, what you see, blah, blah, blah. Well, I see this. All right. He's closing. This is what I would always say. He's closing hard, coach. He's closing hard. Let me get out the back door on it. Or let's run something where I can come across and cut him off. Because he's squeezing so hard, it's hard for me to get inside. So I tell you what, let me come across and get him out. And, bam, there it would work like that. It's there.
Yeah.
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 It's there.
They just didn't do it.
They didn't do it.
Didn't do it. They got a week to fix it.
I love this quote by Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith said, in choosing not to throw the ball to the middle, he said he did not want Jesse Bates to wreck the game. He has a ton of respect for him. He said, our Jason Board, TJ Watt, wrecked the games. Theirs didn't.
Yeah. He's right.
Yeah.
Don't let the best player on the opposing defense ruin the game plan.
Yes.
So one guy did, one guy didn't.
Yeah.
One
guy wasn't allowed to.
One guy, that's right. One guy wasn't allowed to. And one guy very much was allowed
yes.
to. He was very much yes. allowed to. And even if you try not to let him, he'll still do it. Yeah, let's just do it. Let's hear Aaron Rodgers saying something weird. We're
I think
back,
we always
got
to stay relaxed. It's a long season. I think at times people think the season is like
face.
You're out in the prairie or the desert and you're wandering around trying to find water.
No, Aaron!
But it's more like a nice, slow bolero, you know, where we're just swaying with the music and reacting to whatever comes through comes to us and through us and just trying to not get too high with the highs or too low with the lows. The league is a lot different than when I said relax years ago. In that there's just so much more coverage that there's so much more opportunity for overreaction.
He better be damn good,
now
Andy.
Now he's right about that.
He's right, but he better be good, Andy.
Yeah.
He already it's week one, he already on my damn nerves.
Yeah, I mean you can't be swaying with the boleros and be 4-13. You can't do that. You can't be R-E-L-A-X all those years ago. And he backed it up. He R-E-L-A-X'd them all the way to the NFC Championship
yes.
game that year.
Yeah.
But right now, he hasn't done anything there yet, obviously. And here's the thing. And you and I were talking about this off the air, about how there's so much hype for them and him, and then they lose a game, understandably,
to a better where he's rusty team.
Against a team that's been in the NFC Championship game multiple years in a row, was in the Super Bowl last year in overtime with a chance to win it. The 49ers are better than the Jets.
Yes.
And they beat them.
And they beat
them
down.
Not surprisingly. No. And he's right. People have overreacted to it. But that's the nature of the beast right now. Mm-hmm. Like, for I don't know. It's hard to say for better or for worse because it probably is for better money-wise. It's probably for worse in terms of people being rational, but yes. Nobody wants to be rational. Yes. And as much as it pains me to say this, he's right about that part. About the overreaction part. He's right about it.
He's right. It's very overreacted.
He just says it annoyingly, and he looks annoying when he says it.
Yeah. Christian McCaffrey, they're optimistic he's going to play. May play.
Yep.
I would still rest him, Andy. Right now, because, I mean, this Achilles and calf injury, we've seen what it does. So,
right. You know what that leads to.
Yep. Joe Burrow. We talked about the wrist. I mean, that goes back to the coverage. People saw him on the sideline picking up a Gatorade bottle and flexing his wrist. Oh, Lord, his wrist broken still. Oh, Lord. Joe, like, goodness gracious. Four quarters. And they've been 1-9.
They're bad to start.
They're bad to start
that
the season.
That has been a truth of the Joe Burrow Bengals.
He didn't play all. Them, they didn't practice all training again. His best receiver wasn't there.
No, he wasn't.
His second best receiver
didn't play.
Didn't play.
Yep.
And his running back is gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
Relax.
Running back's gone. Running back had a great game in Houston,
by the way. Yes, he did.
And he's happy to be there. Did you hear what he said? They said something to him about, like, something about the Bengals, and he was like, I'm just going to treat them like they treated me and not even talk about it or think about it.
There we go.
Because they left me out in the cold.
There we go, man.
So he's hurt.
Oh, then.
But now he's on a pretty good team, so it worked out.
If you're Daniel Jones and your opponent says, I start to feel bad for him.
Oh.
Ooh.
Who said that?
Jonathan Grenard. He said that he started to feel bad.
You ever play against somebody so bad you felt bad for him?
Of course.
Really?
Of course.
Not in the NFL.
Oh, no. It was in high school.
You can't be feeling bad for him.
It was in high school, and it was. And we played Houston County. And they had this kid playing defensive end. And, Andy, we wore his ass. I mean, like, we shifted so I can go over to the left side. And, Andy, I was putting him in the damn Gatorade.
You had to.
And I felt so bad for him.
Oh. I did. I mean, at that level.
Because I was mauling.
You're about to be D1. He probably wasn't.
Andy. I just mauled that boy.
Yeah.
And then my man.
Remember his name?
No.
Did you ever know his name?
No. No. Got a cool picture of mauling him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, got a cool picture. It was on the cover of the paper.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Oh, that's fun. Mauling. I like that. All right, we'll come back. Grant McCauley's going to join us. We'll talk some Braves with him. He's our Braves insider. He knows this team better than anybody. Maybe he can tell us what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks. We'll ask him. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Our 92.9 The Game Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, as always, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
G-Mac.
I'm good. Situational adjustments. That's what we're calling moving the phone call.
Exactly right. Look, stuff happens. Guys get injured. You gotta move them in the lineup a little bit, and that's sort of what it is. Certainly the Braves are familiar with that. Is going 0 runs, 12 runs, 1 run just like the perfect microcosm of where things are at right now to you?
It essentially is, because this Braves club has just never found the consistent stretch of baseball that I think everyone expected at some point, even with some of the major injury losses, none bigger than Ronald Acuna Jr., offensively speaking, the setbacks with Ozzie Albies and then Austin Riley. I mean, you're looking at an underpowered lineup, but still a lineup that has some professional hitters in it, but it just hasn't looked the way it's needed to. It hasn't performed the way that it's needed to and been expected to, and unless or until that changes, it is difficult to see the Braves, you know, finding a way to consistently win when they've had some of the best pitching in baseball, bar none, for the majority of the season, and especially this past month, and have essentially been treading water in a lot of ways.
Grant, some of the guys we talk about, like, that can come back, Ozzie and Austin Riley and those guys like that. When you get to a point of, like, say, for instance, they bomb out against the Dodgers, would you think they would consider just keeping them guys out for the rest of the year?
No, I mean, Austin Riley is very, I mean, I would say, I'll say it, and if I'm wrong, I'll eat my words, but he's not coming back in the regular season.
Okay.
His timeline is, you know, early October, and that's if everything goes well. For Ozzie, when we talked to him, I guess it's going on about a week or 10 days now, he indicated it'd be 2 more weeks until he was able to do all his baseball activities, which then would indicate he could go out on a rehab assignment. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back.
Right.
I mean, barring any kind of setback, which, knock on wood, doesn't happen, but it's 2024 in the Atlanta Braves, so, you know,
probably going to
Katie bar the door. So, yeah. putting all that aside, I think they just kind of have to work with what they've got.
Right.
And if they can get Ozzie Albies back in the mix, that is great. But if not, you know, they kind of – and Brian Snitker's really been pretty pragmatic about this. We have who we have, and we got to concentrate on winning a baseball game today, and then we'll start worried about tomorrow's game. But they are truly, as one would say, they are going through it, and they've been going through it for a while. And it's not the door is going to swing open and all the reinforcements are going to walk in. This is not end game when Steve Rogers is just hopelessly beaten and hears the Falcons say, on your left. That's just not happening.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the reality of it. And honestly, unfortunately, too, you know, if you're paying close attention to it, like you said, some of the stretch of play offensively isn't all that surprising, just as inconsistent as they've been and how many guys they're without. I do wonder, though, and I know why they haven't of late, because the pitching staff has just been so good. The starters that have been going out there have been fantastic. But we had been talking about earlier in the summer some of these young guys maybe coming up and helping out the rotation, Ian Anderson and guys like that. Is there any chance of seeing those guys down the stretch now that Lopez is hurt?
Yeah, certainly now, but I think they put that on hold, that plan, because they were getting some inconsistent results, and they pretty much had gotten to the point where they realized, we've got five really capable starters. We got to ride with that group and just see what happens. Yeah. I mean, because there's just such low margin for error for this club from a pitching side, and they are delivering so many more times than not. Yeah, every week or so, there may be that bad game where they give up, you know, six or seven runs or whatever it is, that one bad one in the mix. But even on some of those days, there's a couple of defensive plays here or there that just doesn't go their way. I mean, Max Fried last night, he didn't pitch poorly, and there was one inning where it just seemed like if anybody could hit the ball just far enough beyond the mound, yes, then the Nationals were going to score a run. Yes. And that's the kind of thing that just hasn't happened for the Braves on the flip side of that coin.
Right.
But be that as it may, I mean, they have concentrated so much on, we got to throw our best guys, and we got to stop doing, you know, the extra little things, because we did all that in the first half to get us here to utilize these pitchers at this time. And they're delivering. The bullpen, way more times than not, is delivering. There's just, as I've said, and I feel like a broken record at this point, the margin for error is so thin that if the pitching, you know, does its job and gives up two, three, four runs, you just can't even count on being in that game necessarily, because the offense can't find the hits it needs.
Grant, this thing with Lopez, it's the second time. Is this has a lot to do with the fact that this is most he's ever pitched, or is it just bad luck?
No, I think it's probably, well, bad luck. I can't really rule that out, because this feels like a season full of black cats for the right. Braves. You know, every time something gets going, something else goes wrong. But he hasn't thrown over 100 innings since 2019. That being said, I mean, obviously, this is his best season of his entire professional career. So to say that it's not bad luck would be kind of disingenuous, because he's thrown the ball great. It's just trying to maintain and be healthy. And there are going to be some times during the season where, even if you're not ending up on the injured list, you're still managing the soreness as a pitcher throughout the course of the season. Like, nobody's going to feel like they're 100% the whole time. It's just, how do you get through that? And do you come up upon something like this shoulder tightness where we saw the drop in velocity, where it's just not working out for you and you do have to take that break? And, you know, doing the quick math, if he comes back right on time, there are four games left in the regular season. Then as you start thinking about the postseason, I felt like Ronaldo Lopez had a pretty good case to be in that top three. Can you trust it at that point? Or do you have to have somebody else gassed up and ready to go? Do you think about using him in relief so that he can just go out there and air it out for a couple of innings and be a weapon that way? I mean, there are a lot of different ways you can utilize it. I know that's a lot of extra for this question, but yeah, there's a lot of bad luck there. And I think that the innings that he's thrown, the workload, is a big factor in kind of why we're seeing these couple of things crop up over the course of the season.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Braves. Day off today, and then the Dodgers for four. 16 games left. I know everyone's kind of looking ahead to that. Well, obviously the Dodgers series, but then the Mets series, three-gamer before the final series of the year against the Royals. Game behind the Mets, a couple games behind the Padres and the Diamondbacks as well. Can you just sort of survey the landscape for the Braves in the final 16, and then the teams that they're chasing as well?
Yeah, and I think that you kind of get to this point where it's four teams for three spots, so clearly you feel pretty good about your chances, since it's all grouped into usually about a 2.5 or 3-game separation between the top wildcard team and the club that's right on the outside looking in. So a ton of things can happen in the next 2.5 weeks, including the Mets having to go through the Phillies 7 times.
Who do we root
for? So they're going to have their hands full as well. Then they got to go head-to-head with the Braves, and they can't afford to slip up there. And quite obviously, I don't know that I need to tell anybody, but I will anyway. the Braves can't afford to slip up against the Mets head-to-head because that could undo any or all of the work that they do leading into that series. And then on the other side, you have to face the Kansas City Royals, who are trying to get into the postseason this year as well. So it is going to be a tough road ahead for the Braves. They really needed to take advantage of this homestand that they just completed. I felt like they needed a sweep of either the Rockies or the Blue Jays. Didn't happen, but you took two out of three. And where it really took a step backwards was losing that game to the Cincinnati Reds. That took a lot of the shine off of that homestand, where they really needed to pick up, you know, five, if not six wins, and they ended up with four. And then to go to Washington and split this series, lose the season series to the Nationals, a club that is, you know, double-digit games under 500, this is just not taking advantage of the stretch of the schedule that they needed to, because the Dodgers, you know, we all know what those series are like, and it ain't going to get any easier this year.
Who the hell do we root for in those 7 of 10 when you're talking about the Phillies and the Mets?
A meteorite, pretty much. I mean, I don't really know that there's a better way. I mean, it's the Phillies. I mean, that may sound weird or strange, especially considering the history of the last couple of years between these two clubs, but you need the Phillies to knock the Mets around. And can that happen? Sure, it can, because the Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball. I believe they've proven that at this point. And that would be your best-case scenario, is that your foes are losing as many games as they can. And the head-to-head, you know, again, you just got to handle your business there. There's no two ways about it. The Braves still, in a lot of ways, hold their own destiny in their hands if they can do the kind of thing they did in 22 and beat the Mets in three games.
Maybe root isn't the right word, right? It's just like you want the Phillies to help you.
And that's still hard.
You want the Mets.
That's still hard.
It is hard. It's
the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, exactly. Grant, who's the best team in the National League? I know the Dodgers may be the most talented, I mean, but who do you think is the best team right now in the National League?
The Phillies.
Okay.
I believe the Phillies are. And it's not, I mean, there's not a big separation. I mean, let's not say that, oh, well, this team, and then there's way this huge gap in between. There's not. I mean, the Dodgers have a superstar in Shohei Ohtani that's doing historic and crazy things, and he's not even on the mound this year. Right. They've got a talented lineup with plenty of good players. They just got Yamamoto back. That's big for them down the stretch because their pitching has been an abject disaster all year long with injuries as well. So, I mean, they've got the reinforcements, I guess, that they needed at this time to kind of put some things together. And the Dodgers are a club that, in a lot of ways, they're in the same boat that the Braves are in. There's been a lot of winning that's gone on the last couple of years, and they have done a lot of losing very quickly in October and gone home. So they've got a lot to prove this season, and we'll see if they're able to do it too.
Yeah, see, Yamamoto projected Monday against Fried. And look, I mean, hopefully Schwellenbach, Sale, Morton, Fried, these guys that have been incredible for the last month or so can continue to do that. Yeah, because that's what it's going to take. Grant, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate
it,
G-Mac.
Thanks, guys.
Grant McCauley there, 92.9 The Game Braves insider, host of From the Diamond, joins us every Thursday at 12:20 to talk Braves. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think everybody knows the reality of just the bad luck season that it's been.
Yes.
Yet and still, 16 games left. I don't know that you – I mean, you do technically control your own destiny because you do play the Mets three games and you're only one game behind them right now. Maybe you get a little help from who Grant said is the best team in the National League right now in the Phillies. They certainly were at the beginning of the year, cooled off in the middle, and seem to be playing better again now. But, yeah, man, it's tough. It's just a tough.
Too much Philly love going on.
I don't like it at all.
Yeah, it's too much Philly love.
I don't like it at all. Yeah.
I'm done with that.
Yeah, but I don't want Mets love
it.
But
I love the question because, you were talking about, like, where is AJ Smith-Shawver? Where is Ian Anderson? I know the pitching has not been the problem.
Just haven't needed
them. I'm just like, where the hell are these other guys at? Like, we got good guys. And I'm tired of this team looking the way it does. I understand why they do. We talked about it already. Backups to the backups to the backups. Yeah. Right? And then the backups get hurt. And then I don't know who the hell was out there.
Asking, do you want AJ Smith-Shawver to bat?
Yeah, why not? He probably can. Hell, he ain't pitching.
Let him get a spot start.
He ain't pitching, so maybe Fried can be in the lineup. I mean,
I know. I'm with you. I was looking forward to seeing Ian Anderson, but then the pitchers went on like a 30-game stretch and not giving up any runs.
That was a cluster, you know what, yesterday. The ball was barely getting past them. Max Fried is a gold glove pitcher.
Yep.
And it looked like he didn't have no clue how to field and where to go with the ball once he fielded it.
It was 2024 Braves, man. What it was. Soft hit balls, finding space.
Soft hit RBIs.
Soft hit RBIs, dribbling through, you know, just weird mental errors. And then the Braves don't get any of that.
Yes.
Like the Braves hit one in the gap and somebody will make an incredible play.
Just a diving behind their back or something.
The best defensive player their entire life. Yeah, it's It's been a weird year. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Smokin' Joe Patrick will also join us at 1:20, as he always does on Thursdays, to talk some Falcons. Get his well-measured and rational take on what happened.
Because he
in
will
week
have
one.
One.
He will. Yeah, as much as we make fun of Joe for being a troublemaker, and he is. He's going to have a pretty reasonable thought on what happened on Sunday and looking ahead to Monday as well. We'll get to all that. We'll get to the back page with Bo in just a minute as well.
Guys, we will be at Twin Peaks tomorrow in Kennesaw.
That's
so if you in the area, if you're not in the area, just put some gas in your car because gas and went down, Bunk, and come see us.
Yeah, come on up.
Yeah, come
and you can thank us for that because we've been out and about a lot. And we went to the people, the powers that be, and we're like, hey.
Let's get our ass out.
Andy and Randy listeners like to come see us.
Yes.
Maybe lower the prices of gas.
Yes.
And they said, for you guys, we will.
Yes.
So you can thank us for
that. So we appreciate it and everything like that. And Bunk, I did have my tribute concert last night. It was awesome.
I bet it was a good time.
It was freaking awesome, Bunk.
Now, was it the whole crew or was it just you?
It was always just me.
That's awesome.
It was awesome. Had a great time last night. I actually sat and found a Frank LeBeau May's concert from like 85.
Oh, on YouTube?
On YouTube.
And just watched
it? And watched the whole concert.
Oh, that's really cool.
So it was like 2 hours. So I sat there and watched that and then it was just on. But had a great time. And I appreciate my neighbors being patient with me. I know it's a Wednesday, and I only do that usually on Saturdays.
Yeah.
But it was a special occasion.
Yeah, you had to celebrate the life.
They're listening.
One of your favorite musicians.
You know how I feel about you guys.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
You don't seem banged up at all.
Well, I mean.
Seem great.
I mean, it's been 7 hours since I woke up. Eventually, it wears off.
That's true.
Yeah, it wears off.
That's the nice thing
hours.
About getting up so early.
But I was like, oh.
Just a low grumble.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying that sound like Shannon. Sound like Shannon? Hell yeah. Sound like, oh.
That's
sound,
Hey. That's a good way to feel better.
Yeah, man. Sound like Shannon.
Man.
Sound like I was on that yak and them the red dot rises.
Nothing like a little hungover next morning action.
Nothing at all.
One of my favorites.
But I'm in the house. Yeah, woke up early, shook it off, popped me a couple Advils, ate me two boiled eggs.
There you go.
Back in the game.
Right back at it.
Back
That's right. You said it, and it's not true for me, but you said it about you. Bounce back games the same as it always has been.
Yeah, man.
Mine, not the same.
Yeah.
Like a,
you're pretty
like
good,
a
though.
Flat basketball.
Yeah, no, see, your problem is that you, like I know when to stop. I know. But see, there's nothing because – a couple times when it's just be me and you, me and you, and we drinking and all having a good time. Like you've gotten, I don't want to say you got the best, but like you did have me fall down my damn basement steps one time. last time we hung out, you kind of dipped on me early.
I had to.
Yeah, I was like,
sorry.
We just sitting there talking and everything, and all of a sudden you're gone.
Had to go.
Where the hell is Andy?
Yeah, and I feel badly about that.
What if I had got jumped at the battery?
That's the Irish part of me.
Yeah. What if I had got jumped at the battery?
I wasn't too worried about that. I think you probably would have been okay. Now, somebody wanted to steal my money at that point. It probably wouldn't have been that hard.
Because I did.
Do you know how I got home? I got a limo.
Huh?
Yeah, there was a guy out there. It was a limo driver out there. So I did that instead of getting an Uber.
Oh, really?
And I just took his word for it.
Right.
I could have been in a basement somewhere. That could have been it for me. Instead, I got in a very fancy SUV.
I had no clue where you went.
Yeah, Mohammed was the limo driver. Awesome guy.
All right.
We exchanged info. And next time I need a limo, which probably never again. But I got home in style. Now, that's a short ride for a limo because I don't live too far from the battery.
I had no clue where you went.
Yep. That was a good time, though.
Got me jumped.
Man, if something bad would have happened, I'd have felt so bad. Obviously, that would never happen. All right, let's get to the back page with Bo.
Bringing you the stories that didn't make the cut anywhere else in the show. It's the back page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back page with Bo every day at 12:45. Hello, Bo.
So, this one didn't get past the open of the show. And, of course, I'm talking about Shannon Sharp and his IG live moment. Well, here's the video. Not the video. Here's the audio of Shannon on with Ocho last night.
Oh, you're gonna say, damn, Bo.
People count on Shannon. There are a lot of people that count on Shannon to be professional at all times, and I always try to be professional at all times, even when I'm behind closed doors. I still try to remain a level of professional, although I'm in the privacy of my own home, and I'm very disappointed in myself, not for the act. I think there are millions and billions of people of consenting age that engage in activities, but to have your most intimate detail on the audio to be heard I'm disappointed in myself. I let them call them. I called my sister. My friends, obviously, my friends reached out. But, God, this was not staged.
Okay. Not staged.
I mean,
just an accident.
It wasn't an accident. It wasn't staged.
I believe that.
But, it, I mean,
I don't see what the problem is.
I don't see any problem.
The only issue, if I'm in his shoes, and again, I'm not telling him how to act. He's got a much bigger platform and a lot more stuff to be accountable for sure. But, like, depending on how she felt about it.
That's it.
That's what I would be worried about. Like, if she was upset or whatever, which is totally reasonable.
That's the biggest thing, right? Yeah. That's what I said it earlier. Like, I know Shay, and I'm pretty sure that he talked to her before they even went on this show. He had to clear everything up with her and everything like that. Like, I would not be embarrassed if I was, you know, laying it down.
No. Neither would I.
Yeah, I'm like, because I'm.
Matter of fact, I'd be kind of proud.
I'm pretty sure his DMs ain't.
They're not empty.
They're empty.
No, they're not empty.
Hey, Unc.
Yeah, there's a
link. See, you know what they say? Good things happen to those who accidentally go live? Or don't they say that?
I have no damn clue, bro.
They bite.
Porn site Porn Dude
is
prepared to write a check for $100,000.
Yeah. Obviously, he can't do that.
For Shannon Sharp. To go on and make a movie.
I can't do that.
He makes a lot more money just by doing
He's got too much
Shay
to lose to do that.
But $100,000. Would y'all do that for $100,000?
Would I have?
I'm assuming just one movie.
Would I make a movie with my wife for $100,000?
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
See how she? I mean, I don't know how she would feel about it.
Right. That's one of those.
Yeah. I don't know how she feel about it.
I don't think we'd get the. I don't think we'd get the thumbs up from.
Yeah.
Her.
But I mean, I don't. Yeah.
I don't think I would.
Yeah. I don't.
But like, as a younger man, like Shannon Sharp's single,
yes,
right?
Yes.
If I'm single.
Yeah.
And you're offering me $100,000.
Yeah.
Just to. Perform on
assuming that you're not an anchor on ESPN and have a podcast.
Well, even this, they probably wouldn't let us do it here.
What do you mean?
Really? If I was like, hey, I got offered $100,000.
You don't think Mike Conti would have let you?
I think that would bring the viewers. I mean, the listeners.
I don't know. Both. That's a great question. We should ask him.
You don't think that he would do that?
I'm not sure. I don't know where that falls into the Odyssey bylaws.
Like, I tell you, I went.
But
like,
I would do it.
It's not written in your contract.
On my own.
Like, living in Miami for long, I knew the guy, Christopher, them from B-Bros.
Yeah, you probably can't say
I can't say the word. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I knew them, and I went to
the brothers.
And I went to one of their sessions or whatever. And, dude, it's so different than you think. It's so different.
Sessions meaning like set?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very different. It's very different.
Several takes, just like any other movie.
And everything like that, which was just...
Did it kind of make it...
Lots of bottles of Blue Chew probably.
Terrible? Like, did it make it seem like... I don't know.
I didn't watch it anymore, really.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, it was...
Like a peek behind the curtain sometimes doesn't always...
It was interesting.
...increase the enjoyment.
Yeah,
it probably decreases it a little bit.
Yeah, honestly, it's like, oh, that doesn't seem fun.
Wait, we got to go again?
Yeah. And that's basically what it was, though. Cut!
Right.
And then... Yeah, it was.
See, y'all remember the fiasco with Jordan Chiles and her bronze medal or not during the Olympics, and Flava Flav said he was going to come through for her. Well, this happened last night on the VMAs.
I know they tried to take your medal away from you, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? I got you something that they can't take away from you.
Wow. What? I don't even know what to say here.
Gifted her with the bronze clock.
Okay.
Yeah,
proudly
that's why
worn
she
around
she don't know
her
what
neck.
To say here. That's why,
pretty
that's
sharp,
why she
too.
Said that. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, because
I've heard that wow before, that style of wow.
Yeah.
I think we know what that
means. You heard that before?
Yeah.
Hey.
I think we have.
Yeah. Wow.
The underwhelmed wow?
That's a very underwhelmed wow.
BlueChew.com, promo code Andy.
All right, so look. Y'all know I'm always taking up for the animals, right?
You love animals.
You know,
love
animals. Sharks don't intentionally attack people,
that's
especially
true,
for
Bo.
Food.
That's not true.
That
Bo.
Is true.
That is not true.
I saw where
also don't feed on people.
I saw where
that is not true, Bo.
84-year-old lady punched an alligator in the face to save her dog.
I don't know what's wrong with her.
Well done. She saved her dog and she's fine.
She got 85. How many more years she got?
Yeah, that's true.
Oh yeah, you don't give a crap when you're that age. Yeah.
Sister Jean was 85, had 20 years left.
That's true.
Go.
She's still kicking.
Still going.
That is true.
Or rolling.
85 years. I bet she had one of the moo-moos on too then.
So
probably. Yeah.
It all went down at Tanjung Aru Recreation Park in Sabah, Malaysia.
Okay.
Where a young woman was jogging through the park.
Mm-hmm.
And lo and behold.
Tiger.
Eight otters surrounded
otters?
Her and attacked her.
What?
Yes.
Hold on.
I didn't know otters
video
were like
shows
that.
The otters attacking the lady. Well, she was covered in blood pretty good.
Really?
They actually got after her. Then it showed the otters taking off through the parking lot as the heat was called.
Interesting. So States, otters are predators.
State's Wildlife Department says preliminary investigations found that the pack of otters entered the park looking for food,
pack of
and
otters.
Their aggressive behavior is being blamed on people feeding the animals.
I'm looking at these.
Don't feed the animals, people.
Don't Tara like otters?
That's what I was about to say. She might need to find a new favorite animal. She's a huge otter fan.
You know what a pack of otters is called?
Potters?
A romp.
A romp?
A romp?
A romp.
A romp of otters.
A romp of otters.
I don't know why different groups of animals have different names for them, but yeah, that's what a pack of otters is called, a romp. I did know they were predators, because have you seen the movie Zootopia?
No.
No?
Sure.
Oh, there's right there.
Emmett Otterton.
Okay. I got, my,
yeah. They got Went
the,
savage.
They got the video of...